Our text this morning comes from a paragraph out of Romans 8 that deals with the hope that we have as Christians. Romans 8, verses 38 and 39 is our scripture reading for this morning. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Well, Barb and I have been fighting a little bit of a cold this week. I'm getting the victory, but I'm keeping some water here for an emergency. Barb still is running a fever last night, so she didn't come to church today, so pray for her. Before we get started, I want to put in a plug for this upcoming prayer meeting series. Anytime you get a chance to do an in-depth study about Jesus' ministry on earth, go for it, because it'll be so extremely helpful for you. And I look forward to the 28 weeks of this study. So now, our sermon. This is the story of the prodigal son that was told by Jesus, and it is found in Luke 15, 11 to 32. And it is one of my favorite stories that Jesus told, and it has so much meaning to the whole story. This story comes out of the conclusion to three stories that he told. First is about the lost coin. It has no idea it was lost. Then you have the lost sheep. It knows it's lost, but it doesn't know how to get back. And the master has to retrieve it. And then you have the lost son. And the value of a sheep is worth more than the value of a coin. And the value of a man is worth more than a sheep. We are made in God's image. I think that all of us in all our situations fit into this story somewhere. I'm going to read Romans 8, 38 and 39 again. For I am persuaded that neither death, that means you dying, or life, living, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, which is Mount Everest, nor depth, which is the bottom of the Grand Canyon, or anything created is able to separate us from the love of Jesus our Lord. Do you know what this text is saying about the love of Jesus, the love of God? Nothing is capable of separating us from the love of God. If you read the next chapter of Romans, you will find out what can separate you from the love of Jesus. But this story is a wonderful story that Jesus gives us of what can and will stop Jesus' love for you and his gift of eternal life. But you will have to listen carefully to the story of the prodigal son to get the answer. And at the end, I will tell it to you if you have not gleaned it. Luke 15:11 says, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them says to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that fall on me. You might think that that demand is shocking, and it probably was inappropriate then as it would be now. For a child to say to his parents, you know, I've been waiting around for a long time for you to die, but you seem to be in good health, and I don't think I can wait any longer. What are you planning to give me for my inheritance, and can it start right now? And there are some times when parents distribute their estate while they're still alive. Back then, the firstborn gets a much bigger portion of the family inheritance because he acts as the surrogate father. And they say older children are more responsible, and the younger ones are more spoiled. Well, Barb and I are both middle children, so we don't know where we are. He doesn't want to wait for his father. Maybe living with dad was restrictive. As young people start to grow, they start to chafe about the restrictions and the rules, and they want to be free. And when they are not living under honor your father and your mother, it can lead to rebellion. And this young man was chafing under the restrictions of living in his father's house. And he says, I need to get out of here, but I can't leave empty-handed. I need a car and a bunch of money. And strangely enough, his father did it. Don't miss this point. The father here represents our heavenly father. And the son asks, and the father gives. Our heavenly father gives us more than we ask for quite often. And sometimes our heavenly father gives, even though we are asking for the wrong things. And sometimes the father gives, and we are asking impatiently, which was the case here. Sometimes he gives, and he knows what he is giving us is not what we are thinking. That happened to an exchange student that was staying with us for the school year. We were on a family trip to San Francisco, and Martin wanted some gummy worms. Well, he bought a big bag of them, and they looked pretty tasty, and my girls asked for some, but he would not share it with them. He ate the whole bag all by himself. Well, too many gummy worms act like a laxative, and that is exactly what happened to him. Yes, sometimes you don't get exactly what you want. And sometimes parents allow that to happen so they teach their children a lesson so that the children will not want to ask for bad or harmful things. They need to trust the parent that they are only going to give you what is best for them. Now, a loving parent takes from the child that which is going to hurt them because we love them and don't want to see them get hurt. And sometimes we cry and fuss when God takes away what is bad for us. I want to bring up a very important truth about God. He will only give us things that are good for us all the time, 100% of the time. Sin is what brings bad things to us, never God. Well, this young man said, Father, give, and the father gave it to him. And not many days later, the younger son gathered together all his stuff and he went to a far country, not just down the road, but a far country. The boy wanted his father's inheritance, but not his father. A lot of us want the blessings of God, but they do not want the God that gave it to them. A lot of people want every good and perfect gift from God, but they do not want God. And this young man wanted his father's wealth, but he did not want him to tell him how to use the wealth. So to escape the watchful eye of his father, he went to a far country. Have any of you ever growing up wanted to run away from home? I did, several times. Packed my bags, but then realized I had it pretty good and stayed. But at times I wanted to be far away. Life is not fair when you're a kid. You have to do dishes, you have to vacuum the floor, and make your bed. Outrageous. And there he wasted his possessions with prodigal, riotous, rebellious living. And as long as he had the resources, he had friends. What do we call them? Fair-weather friends. As long as he was sharing his credit card, vehicle, or stuff, they hung around. And it seemed like he was having a good time. Now, this is where a lot of people get into trouble. Sometimes people will say, sin will never bring you satisfaction. Well, that is not always true. You might experience some temporary satisfaction, and it might be quite thrilling, but the end of it is destruction. It says in the Bible that Moses chose to suffer the afflictions with the Israelites rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You might enjoy the pleasures of sin, but only for a season, for a little while. But don't forget this point. It does not last. You might enjoy the party while you have alcohol in your blood, but the next morning you are not having fun anymore. Headaches, nausea, feeling awful, blurred visions, etc. That is the way it is with sin. Did you notice this young man wanted instant gratification? This is one of the reasons people are in so much debt, the want for instant gratification. Do you remember the word layaway? Credit cards have done away with that term. Why? Because we want it now. That is the problem with so many in this world. They are willing to sell or trade their eternal life because they want it now. But the kingdom of God brings much more lasting pleasures now in this life than following the devil. His pleasures are always for a season, and that is what was happening with this young man. It says he wasted his possessions with prodigal living. You know, God has given every one of us talents, gifts, wisdom. I would like to make appeal to the young people. There's a lot of us young people out there, aren't there? I wish I could go back in time and do things differently. I'm sure all of us have those regrets. I regret all the time and opportunities that I wasted, that I could have been serving God. It grieves me when I hear young people say, "I just want to have a little fun now and come back or work for the Lord when I'm older." Do not waste your most precious gift given to you. That is your time. Let me tell you this, every day that you delay in giving your heart to the Lord is one less day to repent in and one more day to repent of. It says this young man wasted. He didn't just waste his father's inheritance, he was wasting his life and wasting his time. People talk so much of all the years they have wasted. It says he wasted his money with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, bankrupt, gone, it will not last. Jesus says, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be." If your treasures are of this life, then you are losing. But if your treasures are in heaven, then you are increasing. If your treasures are here on earth, you will get sadder and sadder, seeing them slip away. Especially as you get older, you will see this process put in fast forward. But if your treasures are in heaven, you will get happier because you are getting closer to them. And soon, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, you will be there. It is all a question, where is your home? Is it this world or is it heaven? Let me ask you this, what is your most precious and valuable treasures? If you are like me, it is people. And I, as well as you, can name some of them personally. Those treasures are what you really want to take to heaven. This is my goal today, is for you and I to have our priorities right, to seek God's kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine. Did you notice that when his money runs out, the resources of the far country run out? That far country represents a lost condition. The Bible tells us Adam and Eve ran from God. He does not run from us. We draw near to God and he draws near to us. In the Garden of Eden, God comes first looking for man. And God still comes looking for us today. Our sins have separated us from God. Our sins have put us in this far country. Now keep in mind, while this young man is off in this far country of sin, wasting his time and money, What is his father going through? How does he feel? What is he going through? The very fact that he is in a far country means that the father doesn't know what is happening to his boy. The poor boy was risking his life and possessions going away from his father. What was his father thinking? You hear about many a parent asking for prayer. Please pray for my son or daughter is missing. I don't know where they are at all. No greater hurt than that. The parents are desperate, frantic, hysterical. Has anyone ever lost your child in a supermarket, mall, or even Disneyland? The child stops to look or stare, or they run here or there. Well, Barb and I had that experience up at the Portland Zoo. Frantic, panicking. I was heading to the gate to make sure no one was leaving with her. No cell phones, no way to communicate. This is how God feels when we don't keep in touch. What joy and relief and happiness Barb and I had when this lady came carrying a crying, sobbing little Tricia. Well, I have done that to my parents, actually several times. Youth Congress at the Coliseum in Portland, camp meeting, Disneyland, and the coast. Just staring and not paying attention and not keeping up. I did not realize the pain and suffering I put my mom and dad through until this happened to Barb and I. And these were all just short-term losses. What happens when this goes on day after day? If you've lost your child like Barb and I, or my parents, you are in good company. Jesus' parents, Mary and Joseph, lost Jesus for 3 days. My heart breaks for these parents that have lost their children for long periods of time and at worst, never seeing them again. That father had no word, no internet, no phone, no mail. This young son, who he loves desperately, is gone. So all this time, this son is living this prodigal life and whooping it up with his friends and having a good time. He seems insensitive and oblivious how his father's heart is torn out day after day, yearning over his son. Now, who does the father represent? God. How does God feel about us when we are not home? He's sad. His heart is breaking. He knows about the dangers out there better than you. He can see the devil and what he's up to, and he knows that eternity is at stake. He knows whether or not you are with him forever in his house or separated forever. It depends on whether you make the decision to turn your steps homeward. God is hoping, praying that you will come home. His heart is breaking. Please get this from my message. Do not lose the important truth about how much God loves you. He loves you, even though you may not be thinking about him. He is thinking about you. Amen? God is constantly yearning and pining for you to come home until you turn your steps towards home. And God, in his mercy, sent a famine to get this young man's attention. A famine came in that far land. You notice that there's no famine in the father's house and his land. It is in that far country. And there's going to be a famine in this world. Anybody know what that's going to be for? The word. The Bible tells us about a famine just before Jesus comes back. And what is it for? For the word of God. In Amos chapter 8, he tells about a famine that is coming, and it is not for bread or water, but for the word of the Lord, and people will be wandering from east to west looking for the word of God, and they will not find it, it says. Is it possible to have a famine for the word of God in a country where there is more Bibles than anywhere else? People choose not to eat or read or study the word of God, even when the bread of life surrounds them. Familiarity has bred contempt, and we are distracted with so many things. Do you know how many channels you can get on TV? And do you know about all the stuff that there is on the internet? And there was a famine in that land, and he began to want. Can you picture it? Gradually reaching in his bag of gold, and because of inflation, it went from gold to silver, and then to copper coins. He realized he had run out of money, and he started to ask his fair-weather friends, "Can I make a little loan?" "Are you kidding?" they said. "You have the money, not me." It goes on to say, he began to want, and no man gave him anything. What you need, the far country cannot give you. What can really satisfy your soul, no man can give you. Only God can satisfy you. Amen?
Amen.
It is only going to be found in the Father's house. And he became so desperate, it says, he became so hungry that he joined himself, meaning that he hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him into his fields to feed the swine. Do you know who that citizen in that far country was? The devil. The story began where he was in his father's house harvesting grain, and he ends up in a far country feeding pigs. The devil will have you feeding his pigs. If you were a Jew back then and listening to this story that Jesus was telling, the most vilest thing you could resort to was being a swineherd. Shepherds take care of sheep, and swineherds take care of pigs. Piggard. How do you describe pigs? There's no good way to describe pigs. Pigs are pigs. Their name is synonymous with that which is filthy, gross, uncouth, pigs. They will eat anything, including each other. Do you know that pigs stink? And there he was walking around throwing these husks, seed pods, to the pigs, and every time he picks his foot up, it gets stuck. You know, pigs have to wallow in their own mire. He feels his feet sucking up every time he has to throw the pigs their food. And after a few days, he hasn't gotten paid yet. He joined himself to this citizen, and he is so hungry himself, he doesn't get paid, so he begins to yearn after the pig's food. The pig's food starts to look good to him, and that is a fitting description for what is happening in this world and even in the church. A lot of people that have the name of Jesus start to yearn after what the pigs eat. What am I talking about? One of the single most powerful things that is eroding the church and the world is the media. It is what you watch, what you have fixed your eyes upon. And little by little, the devil has corrupted the spiritual appetite of people, so we have gotten to the place where the pig's food looks good. And we have become accustomed to garbage. Talk about how TV has gone from nice old shows to murder, stealing, and taking God's name in vain. The garbage that we waller around in today, and little by little you can get used to that which is disgusting. And pretty soon you find what the pigs eat looks appealing. He begins to crave the pig's food. And there is a passage in Isaiah 55, 1 and 2. "Oh, everyone that thirsts, coming to the water, why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your wages for that which does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good. Let your soul delight itself in abundance." God has good bread for you. While he was out there walking around in the muck in the pig pen, finally the Holy Spirit got through to him. The memories of his youth in his father's home. The Bible said the father had servants. He was obviously a wealthy man. He had a big table. And when he realized, "I have gone from a mansion that my father has prepared for me to a pig pen," wow. He said, I was not raised this way. How did I get here? The Holy Spirit has to illuminate our minds or it won't work. Pray that the Holy Spirit will help you see where you are. The devil makes everything look so good, little by little, until you've backslid into the pig pen. You find yourself further and further away from God until you say, I am not a Christian. I am nothing. How did I get so far from my Father's house? It is like an awakening from insanity or sobering up from some drug or alcohol. You come to your senses and you say, how did I get here? When you really think about it, sin is insanity. It's insane. Moses said to the Israelites, here I set before you on this day. You have two choices. On one hand, you have life, good, and blessings. On the other choice, you have death, sin, and cursing. Who would choose death, sin, and cursing? But what has most of the world chosen? It's insane. The word sin has been substituted with the word selfishness in almost every case. Selfishness is a form of insanity. Until we have a new heart that God gives us, Jesus is love and the devil is selfishness. And as we leave the Father's house, we are becoming more and more selfish. That is why he doesn't care about the agony of his Father. He doesn't care about the name of his Father. If you are a Christian, you take the name of Christ. If you take the name of Christ and act like the world, you are taking his name in vain. If you are going to take the name Christian, then God help us live like Christ. And he is holy, and he is just, and he is good. And the only way we can do that is to have new hearts. Create in me a new heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me. Two choices you can have, a selfish heart or a good heart. You can have a sinful heart or a heart of Jesus. That is why we need to pray, create in me a new heart, O God. We cannot do it ourselves. We need to ask him to do it. But there is something we can say and do. Yes, it's our choice. When that son came to his senses, he did something. You can do something to cooperate with God's agency to have a new heart. Amen? God will not force you, though, just like in the story. You have a choice. Back to the story. But when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's servants have bread enough and even some to spare? Did you notice there's a surplus with God? I like that every time in the Bible that Jesus supplied bread and everyone was fed, there was leftovers. Amen? God has a surplus. You will never go hungry in the Father's house. He says, my father's servants eat better. I would rather be a gatekeeper in my father's house than to have a prominent position in the courts of iniquity with the devil. My father's hired servants have plenty, and I am a son, and I am perishing. God so loved the world that he gave his son. Jesus is the bread of life, that he came down from heaven that we might not perish. And the world is perishing for hunger. For what? The bread of life. He says, and I perish with hunger. I will rise, and I am going to do something about it, and I am going to do it now. He made a decision to get up and start heading home. You draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. There is something you can do, and only you can do it. God cannot force you. By the way, was he in a neighboring town or did he go to a far country? So when he made up his mind to go home, or you make up your mind to follow Jesus, did it take a little while? Do not be discouraged if it takes a while. It is a slow process to come home. Even Mary and Joseph, who lost Jesus at the age of 12, spent 3 days sorrowing and searching for him. If you lost sight of Jesus, don't be discouraged if it doesn't happen just like that. And the promise is, when you search for me, how? With all your heart. Doesn't that seem to imply that it might involve a little time? Warning though, you might be on a journey back to God, but do not dally, because when there is life, there is hope. People who run from the Lord get mired down in the pig pen, and they are struggling with habits, and they got the wrong friends, and the wrong lifestyle, and everything about them is wrong. And they make a decision to go home to Jesus, and it takes some changes and a little time to get back. I am taking time on this issue to illustrate to you that some people are misinformed that all you have to do is give this 30-second prayer and everything is going to go away. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. What a man sows, that will he reap. And repentance means that you are heading the wrong direction and now you turn around and go back the other way. The difference is now you have joy because you are heading home. It is like the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. They did not go immediately from Egypt to the promised land. There is a journey in the wilderness, and it takes time to get there. If you keep God before you, you will make it to the promised land. Amen?
Amen.
I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned. Did you notice he did not repent? He confesses. John the Baptist preached, repent, and they came confessing their sins. We should always repent and confess our sins to God. Ultimately, all sin is against God. As you repent and come home, he comes out to meet us. He said, I will go to my father's house and say, I am not worthy. And that is true. None of us are worthy. I don't want this, do you? I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your hired servants. And he arose and he came to his father. Verse 20, and when he was a long way off, his father saw him. How was it that his father could see him when he was a great way off? He was looking for him. He sat staring, looking down the road, yearning and praying for his son to come home. And as soon as he saw the silhouette of his son, he recognized him and he ran to meet him. You draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And as that boy began to sob out his repentance, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and ultimately all sin is against heaven, and I have sinned against heaven, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. The father would hear nothing of it. He was so thankful. He loved his son so much, he could see that his heart had changed, and I'm sure he could smell where he had been. In spite of his condition, he embraced him, and accepted him just like he was. When new members come into the church, accept them just like they are. And the Holy Spirit will change them, not us. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. He ran to meet him. You draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Is he calling you home? The story goes on to tell about the other brother who was not happy. And that will be a whole nother sermon for another day. The main thing to know in this story is about the father. As soon as he came home, he covered him with his own best robe. That is justification. He came to him just like he was, and you can come just like you are when you hear the Lord calling you. Now is the time to come to your heavenly father. He wants so badly for you to come home. We need to come to our senses and leave the pig pen. Amen? We need to say, I am coming home. In closing, I would like to tell you this amazing story, and you are going to have to make it to heaven to get the conclusion. So that's your incentive. Back in 1927, a young Russian girl who had immigrated from Russia to New York City found that she could not live in the big city. She was a country girl, and she pined for home so desperately, and she didn't have enough money for the passage, and she knew that she could never earn it, and she made up her mind to walk to Russia. She couldn't go over the Atlantic Ocean, but figured she could row across the Bering Strait. She walked and was very timid. She would not accept a ride from anyone. She had a knapsack and carried a pipe for protection. She walked from New York City through Chicago, up across Canada. Lillian Alling was her name, 25 years old. It took her 2 years. In Vancouver, people worried about her. The story was almost unbelievable. She had these hand-sketched maps to show where she had gone. They actually arrested her in Vancouver. She was so gaunt that they thought she would die and winter was approaching. They put her in jail to fatten her up for 3 months. She wouldn't let anyone discourage her from her journey. She just wanted to get home, and she knew it was the only way, so she walked. They let her out in spring. She walked to Nome, Alaska. Last they saw her, she somehow secured a rowboat and was rowing the Bering Strait. There was a positive report that a policeman in Siberia tells a story. He had heard an unbelievable story and met this young girl who said she had walked from New York City. We don't know if she made it home. That is the last history of Lillian Alling. You want to hear the rest of her story? Go to heaven. How badly do you want to go home? There's bread in your father's house. You will never be satisfied in that far country. Jesus is calling you. Do you want to come home? Has the Holy Spirit spoken to you? I hope He has. There is power in the Word. He is telling you that the Lord is calling you to come home. He wants you to live in His house for eternity. So many of us need to come to our senses. We are in a far country and we are yearning after the husk the pigs eat, and there is bread in our Father's house. The servants eat better in that Father's house. He is yearning for you to come home. You can make a decision to draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. When that father saw that young man coming, he ran to him. You can come to him today. The answer to that question I had at the beginning is, God gave us the gift of a free will, our choice, and He can't take that away from us and choose for us, or we'd be a robot. And that is the only thing that will separate us from God. Height, depth, angels, nothing can separate from the love of God. So choose God today. Let's pray. Dear God, thank You for this story You give us of the prodigal son, all the little lessons that we can learn from it and glean from it. And we want to choose today Your side, choose Your love, and we choose to come home with You forever. In Thy holy name, amen.